Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
God and aliens. Seems like a strange combination, doesn't it? Well, let's see what they have in common. We don't physically see God. Now, we see the beauty of God all around us. We see the beauty in the birth of a baby. We see the beauty in a gorgeous sunrise. We see beauty in the love that two people find with each other. But we don't physically see God. Well, what about the aliens? Well, we see there's a lot of people who believe in aliens. We can't see them. We don't actually see them land anywhere, although, you know, unfortunately for those people who say they've been abducted, they've had a physical encounter with an alien. But either way, believing in God or believing in aliens both require a leap of faith. We have to actually consider that there's things that we can't see that are real. So when I started thinking about this, the reason I started thinking about it is that our friend Jim Giordano, who's on our show here in the neighborhood, Jim is a big believer, not only in the possibility of aliens, but that aliens have made contact with the Earth in the past. So during our group session today, which that's pretty funny, it sounds like group psychology session, doesn't it? And it really kind of is here in the neighborhood. We kind of talk things out with each other. We're going to talk a little bit about the possibility of aliens being here. Now, for those of you who have seen pictures of Jim and the other fellows in the neighborhood, I'm going to put some stuff up on the website pretty soon, and you can take a look, and we get to know each other a little bit better. We made Jim wear a tinfoil hat during that part of the episode, so that'll be fun to see. But as I started to think about that leap of faith is what really got me going to this opening for our show today, is that the leap of faith that we have with God and people have with aliens and lots of other things is an important part of our human DNA. I sat in church the other day and I saw a couple of things that were absolutely amazing. One, we had a brand new priest, brand new pastor, who came in to take over the parish. And he was out there trying as hard as he could to make a relationship with everybody. He was taking a leap of faith. I'm sure that, you know, when he was told by the bishop that, hey, guess what, you're going to this church, you're going to take over as the pastor, you don't know these people, but go down there and do the right thing. Shepherd that flock for God. I'm sure he had to take a leap of faith there that, first of all, he had chosen the right career, that he had, that he has the skills, that he has the ability to come down and shepherd this flock of God's people. Not an easy thing, I would imagine. I know what it's like when I was a cop and I moved from division to division. You go from patrol, and you learn everything you can about patrol, and then they put you in the detective bureau, or you go to the vice squad, or you go to narcotics or something. You have to go there, and it's a leap of faith. You have to go in and prove yourself to the people around you. You have to learn all the things you need to know so that you can function. It's a leap of faith, and that's, I guess that's the whole idea of what I'm talking about. How many leaps of faith do we take in life every single day? Now, we talked about the rescue dogs, and we have one of them running around here now. I don't know if you can hear him in the background. He's a beautiful, beautiful animal. But it's a leap of faith to take that animal in and hope that, number one, we can help it. It's got to be fed and brought back to health, and then you're hoping you're going to find a family that's going to take this dog for its forever family. And this is what I'm saying. As I looked around, I saw these leaps of faith everywhere. You know, in a marriage, when you get married and, you know, you're all madly in love and everything is wonderful and great, and you take those vows, I vow to do this forever, that's a pretty big leap of faith, don't you think? I mean, look at how many divorces are out there. People might have done it with every good intention, but it didn't always work out that way. So I think we see these things everywhere. We're always counting on each other to try and do the right thing, and we have to ask ourselves, are we somebody that can be counted on? You know, are people taking a leap in faith in us? You know, if you've recently got a new job, or if you're trying to get a new job, or what about the birth of a child? And I talked about how wonderful that is. That's the face of God in the birth of a child. when you're waiting for that child to come, can you be a good parent? Now, I've done that four times. I have four kids from the ages of 32 down to 15. And each time, I had to ask myself the same question. Am I ready to do this? Can I do right by this child? Can I do right by my wife? Can I do right by my family? And then I had to take a leap of faith in myself that I could do it. All right, so that's kind of the theme of what we're talking about today, is the leap of faith. And that's what I ask you. Where have you had to do that? Where have you had to count on someone out there or be faithful to something out there? And where have they tried to be faithful to you? Who's counted on you, I guess, is my bigger point. You know, it's just such an amazing thing to sit and see these relationships go back and forth. So when we look at God and the aliens, we believe that God is there because, I guess, built into the human DNA is this desire to understand there's something bigger than all of us here. There has to be. I mean, you look and you see the stars at night. Absolutely amazing to think that we're on this tiny little rock floating through nowhere, going who knows where in this expanding universe. And to think that this all just kind of came together by itself doesn't seem realistic. I mean, we have it's going to be a strange example for you, but follow with me here. We have this clear cake dish. You know, one of these things, it's a tray, and it's got a cover on top, and it's clear. And there's no cake in it currently. And I said, I really want there to be a cake in there. So if I just keep staring at it long enough, will a cake just materialize underneath that cover from the elements that are floating through the air inside that cover? Will a cake just happen on its own? Well, it's been sitting there since last Christmas time, and there's still no cake in there. Well, I guess I can hope and I can believe that something will just come out of nothing, but it really doesn't seem probable. When I think about life in the universe, I can't imagine that all of this just happened. For number one, the sheer volume of material that it takes to make up the universe. Where did that all come from? And people say that are non-believers, they say, well, it was a reaction of chemicals in the universe, and they just interacted at that particular moment, and that's where the Big Bang came from, and everything came into being, time and space. Okay, where did all that material come from? How did the actual hydrogen gas and the rock material and all the other elements that it takes for that Big Bang to take place, right? Where did that stuff come from? Even bigger than that? And I hope this is not, you know, a little too deep for all everybody out there, but these kind of things that I think about when I'm walking around and looking at the beautiful stars, is that where did the space all come from? They say the universe is expanding. It's ever expanding at millions of miles an hour. Where's all that space come from? You know, I mean, all of this just happened on its own. I can't believe that. And this is where, because I can't believe that, I have to ask the next question. Okay, so then where did it come from? And I sit and I think and I say, okay, I'm going to take a little bit of a leap of faith here. And I'm going to say something or someone had to create it out of whole cloth, because it didn't just happen on its own. There's no cake under the cake sheet thing there. So the only thing that it could be is God. Now, I try to be logical. I try and think about it and say, well, I'm believing that something I can see, because I can see the universe, I can see the stars, I can see moon dust if I go to the museum. I can look in a telescope and I can see planets billions of miles away. I believe that those things are really there. But I also have to believe, with a leap of faith, that something I cannot see created it. It's exactly opposite of the people who take a leap of faith with these aliens. They can't see them at all. They can't see any evidence of them. Oh, they see some rock carvings, some ancient rock carvings of things that look like a spaceship or something like that. But we have never found a spaceship. We've never actually found an alien body, at least that we know about. And they believe wholeheartedly that those things exist without any proof. We have the physical proof, and people still don't believe. They want to so hard, they try so hard to discount the presence of of an almighty creator that they ignore what's right in front of their face. Now, I'm not a scientist. I'm not an astrophysicist, though I like to think myself that way. I'm not any of those things. I'm also not a priest. I'm just a human being looking at the world around me. And I'm trying to figure out what it is about us as people that we can look around and see things so totally different from each other. I mean, we've talked about this many times here on Chasing Justice. We see things totally different, don't we? I mean, we'll see an event take place and half of us will say, well, that was good, and the other half will say it's bad. And we can't really figure each other out. So I had that going through my head for the last couple days. But when we started talking about having a little fun here in the summertime, I wanted to get the guys and girls in the neighborhood to talk about something fun. And we're always teasing Jim about the aliens. When I made him put on the tinfoil hat, that was really pretty funny. So you're going to want to see those pictures on the website. They're actually very comical. So we had this discussion and we talked about what could be out there. What do you think? Do you think little green men or whatever they are actually flying down here to the earth and landing and doing, what's their purpose? I mean, Jim, he'll give you his opinion later on. And I'm actually going to recount a story, something that I actually saw, and I'm a pretty stable individual. And I believe that there are life forms out in the galaxy, in the universe. I absolutely believe that. I just don't believe that they're flying here. I can't imagine that we are the only sentient beings, the only living creatures in this gigantic universe that God created. And we're the only things on this tiny little blue speck in this sea of creation. So I believe there are other civilizations out there. I believe there are other planets. I believe there's other groups of people or whatever they would call them out there. But I don't think that they're flying here. Now you look and you say, why wouldn't I think that they're flying here? Look at the technology we have right now in this day and age. And if you would go back 100 years, just simply go back 100 years, would those people who were absolutely sane, absolutely stable, wonderful people, would they have said, we're going to fly to the moon. We're going to walk around on the moon. We're going to send satellites. They wouldn't even know what a satellite was. But we are going to have satellite TV. We're going to have all of this futuristic equipment in our homes. We're going to have computers that control things. Would they have sounded like they were crazy if they had brought that stuff up? Right? Go another 100 years behind that. There was no electricity. There was nothing. You were churning butter. So when we look at these kind of things, we say, is it possible that there is some form of transportation that's based on science we haven't uncovered yet that can actually allow these people, for lack of a better word, to travel between their location and ours? We don't think they're that close to us. I think the closest star to us is probably about 4,000 years away at our current speed of rocket travel that we have. 4,000 years is a long time. So if you would think that they were flying here with technology that we have, that crew would make it for about 100 and something years and then they'd be dead and you would have a dead ship flying to wherever. So I don't think that they're getting here in 4,000 years. So they would have to get here really fast. Well, is there technology that an advanced race, and when they say that, I suppose they mean we count time on our timeline. We're 2,000 years in the year 2018, 2019, 2020, this time period where we're living. We look at that and say, that's how long we've really been intelligent and doing all this other stuff. What if we have been here for 1,000,000 years? What's it going to be like here on Earth 100 years from now? Will we have technology that's something that if I talked about now, you would say I was crazy? Well, what about if humanity survives for 1,000,000 years? What kind of technology we have then? This is what they're talking about. So is there an alien race out there that has developed this technology that they can use a wormhole or create a wormhole through time and space so that they can travel these multiple light years that would take 20, 30,000 years for us to fly in our current type of rocketry, that they can get here instantaneously or in a short period of time? Maybe it's a short month-long journey and they get here. I don't know. It's a question. But like I said, if you had heard people talk about computers in 1918 or 1919, you would have kind of thought they were nuts. Simple thing like an Apple Watch would have been something you would have said to somebody. Maybe we should put them in the bughouse because something's wrong with this guy the way he's talking. So I can only imagine that 100 years from now, we will have tremendous technology that we can't even imagine today. And isn't that a leap of faith? I now believe that the future is possible beyond my wildest thoughts because we have a history now of being able to think of something and create it, right? Or humanity, look at us. 100 years ago, I'm saying you would have thought somebody was crazy if they talked about a computer. But now we have computers. We have computers that run our technology. We do have rockets that can go to the moon and can take people to space and back. These are realities. So what has that taught me? Very clearly, it taught me that we are capable of a lot of things. Things I can't even imagine right now. I see my children heading off to college. And my older son has already been through college. The two older boys are already done with that. And they're out creating in the world. I can only imagine what my great-great-great-grandchildren, what kind of world they'll be living in. I hope they're living in a world full of freedom and love. And I hope they find their way back to understanding that there are bigger things in the world than what you can see. That there is a God, that this was created by something bigger than all of us. I'm hoping that that's what they see. And I'm hoping that that world is the one that they get to live in. That's my leap of faith. I think every day we wake up and we hope we're going to make it home to our family and our friends is a leap of faith. So God and the aliens both require that kind of personal faith. What's yours? What is your leap of faith? We'll be back in a few minutes here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com. where the conversation never ends, with 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back to round two of Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network. Let's talk about jpangaro.com. This is my company, and we're also working under the title now of TrueSecurityDesign.com. We go out and we do threat assessments for schools, businesses, training for law enforcement. We're trying to keep people safe. So you can ask yourself, is my business safe? Is my school safe? Is my children's school safe? If you need help with that, give me a call. We can help. JPangaro.com. That's J, the letter J, P as in Peter, A-N-G-A-R-O.com, or TrueSecurityDesign.com. Take a look and give me a call. We can help make things better for you. All right, so here we are in the neighborhood. We got the Jersey boys and the Jersey girl with us today.
Jersey girl's here.
We got Miss Kathy here. We got Jack, our rock and roll race car guy. See, his name, his titles are going on. It's starting to expand. Rock and roll race car guy. Jack, how are you today?
Hey, Joe.
Nice to have you. We have our contrarian. Jim is here on time this week. After last week, we berated him, and he decided to come on time. Matter of fact, he brought coffee for everyone but me, so I learned my lesson to make bad things about Jim. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Joe. Thanks.
And our man of faith, Bill Dallas here. Bill has decided to wear the same shirt he had on last week because we thought it was so nice. I just wish you would have washed it. So here we are back in the neighborhood. Bill, how's everything today?
I don't stink, at least.
Well, I think we have four other opinions that could hurt, but we won't do such a thing to you here in the neighborhood. And I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe. So some of the things we want to talk about.
Wait, what about me? You didn't tell anybody about me.
You know, she's right. Our girl in the neighborhood. Now, that's not a sexist thing. I didn't leave the girl in the neighborhood out. She's just so lovely. I'm sitting here looking at her. Kathy is our lady in the neighborhood. She brings a perspective that really the four of us don't have. It's important to get both sides of a point of view in there, and that's where I like to have it.
I bring the idiot factor, and I call you out when you guys are idiots, and that happens once in a while when I'm on the show.
And you know what? Sometimes we're idiots. So I think it's good to have you here so you can keep us.
I have no opinion, Jeff.
Okay, that's an idiot opinion. See, I'm learning from Kathy.
No, it's a smart opinion.
Okay, so here we are in the neighborhood, and we're glad to have everybody here. Let's see what's on everybody's mind. What is it we want to discuss today in the neighborhood? Because that's what goes on. We sit around a fire. Go ahead, Jack. You got something to say?
Yeah, let's talk about what's going on with ICE right now.
ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement people, and how our friends on the left would like to see that disbanded. Matter of fact, there's protests all across the country where they're screaming, "Abolish ICE! Abolish ICE! Get rid of them!" That kind of sounds like if we got rid of the people who control the borders, there'd be no border security, and then people would just come flying in the door. Isn't that correct?
Just a touch of anarchy.
Just a touch of anarchy. And how would that go, do you think, Jack? What do you think?
The flood of people coming into this country would unfortunately teach us a very valuable lesson about securing our borders.
By then, it's a little late, I would think, though. And again, as we always have to say out there to the people that are listening, we understand people coming here want a better life. They want to do things for their family that they can't do where they're at. So we don't blame the people. We blame the politicians who are allowing this to take place. Anybody that wants to make their family's life better is understandable. I would do the same thing. But I follow the rules, and we have to help people when they get here. We have to help them either get back to where they're from, or we have to help them get in the process correctly. So did you have a comment you wanted to make? You had a quote or something for us, Jack. Go ahead.
Well, I have a very old quote that stuck with me since I was a kid. Pre-formation of the country old. There was a great man who once said, if you're young and conservative, you have no heart. And if you're older and liberal, you have no mind. And that was Ben Franklin.
Ben Franklin. Mm. So what he's talking about is life experience. When you're young, you see the world not necessarily through rose-colored glasses, but you see the best in people. You see the best in opportunities. If everybody just got along, if everybody was just happy, if everybody treated each other fairly, everything would be wonderful. And then you get out in the real world and you realize people aren't always as altruistic as they would like to be. If you have something that they want, they might hit you in the head and take it from you. And then how do you deal with that? And that's where you learn over time. So that's a nice quote. Miss Kathy, you're sitting here chomping at the bit.
Well, I didn't know how that quote managed to go with ICE, but I was trying to figure that out. What was the connection there? So are we talking about ICE or liberals and conservatives?
That's one of those idiot moments.
Call Jack an idiot?
No. I was just trying to figure it out.
I have no opinion, Joe.
Yes, that's coming, Jack. You're getting it anyway, no matter what. So what we're talking about there is his point of view. I'm trying to bring from that is that people on the left who think just letting everybody come flying through the door is a good thing when they're not really looking at the bigger picture.
Do they really think that? Come on, Joe. There's a few, there maybe the 10% think it's a good thing. They think it's nice. Most of them are anarchists, communists. They just want to destroy this country. There's no value system behind it. They have one goal, and that is to destroy what America stands for.
Now, who are those people? Because your Aunt Matilda's sitting at home, and she thinks it's just terrible that these poor people can't just come to this country and get a job and have a better life. Is she an anarchist, a communist?
Well, you've got to divide that whole liberal class into three elements. You have the ignorant. That's my Aunt Matilda.
She's ignorant.
Sorry, Aunt Matilda.
and then you have, for the most part, the anti-American anarchists. And I know it's the same story we've been talking about even the last segment, but these people do not want the America of our forefathers. They want a new America, and that new America is a socialistic, communistic America that will eventually turn into tyranny.
What's the
third thing? You said it can be
the
split
evil
into three.
Just evil people.
They're just evil people.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? We talk a lot about this about our friends on the left, and all of us have family and friends that we love that are on the left. And I've tried to mention this many times because I don't see that Aunt Matilda group as either ignorant. Maybe naive, not ignorant.
And that's the same word, Joe. Don't try to be nice. Don't sugarcoat it.
I love people, Jim, unlike you, contrarian. I love people, and I see the best in people. Because you know what? I was a liberal guy one time when I was a young kid, as Jack's pointing out. I didn't understand the world. But let's think about those people that we know that are on the left like that. And what is it that they do that is positive?
But I have no problem with those same people. If instead of saying open the borders, open the door, allow these people in, I wouldn't have a problem with it if they said expand the system. Let's allow more people in legally. Let's not make them go through such a tight funnel. Mm-hmm. Let them in at a greater rate. Let's streamline the system to allow these people to come here legally.
Well, how does that fit with the president's easier thing? Not that they just want to come.
Instead, they're protesting, they're yelling and screaming to just open the door. And that's what I have a problem with.
So that's where the anarchist part, I think people are being played. Yes. But what about bringing in people on merit? Like, there was a time when we would let in engineers if we needed engineers, not just anybody who wanted to come here.
That's part of the system that is in place. You will be identified as to who you are and what you've done in your native country, mm-hmm. and as to whether or not we wish to allow you to come in here. If you're the mad bomber, if you're the Unabomber of Venezuela, we don't want to let you in. Mm-hmm. If you're a serial killer from Colombia, we don't want to let you in.
That's just mean, Jack. Really, you're just being mean. Come on. These are really nice people that are misunderstood.
Well, I think a large majority of them actually are just family people, but I think they're being used also. So my point is that let's think about our friends and family that we love that are on the left, and let's not always just talk about what they do wrong. What is something good? And I'll start this out. Because while I believe that they're being used by bigger causes, Jimmy, I think there is a bigger group out there who are utilizing their love, their decency, and they're manipulating them to get what they want. I think these people have a heart. I think people on the left have a heart, and they see something that doesn't seem fair, and they just want it to be fair. I talk to a lot of young people, and they're not about turning. They don't understand where it's going to end up leading. That's what I'm going to give them. They have heart. They just want anybody who's hungry to have food. They want somebody who has a horrible place to live to have a nice place to live. They want somebody who doesn't have a good job to have a good job.
Who doesn't want that?
This is what I'm saying. So this is what I see on the left. This is the beauty that they bring. We need to bring common sense back to them, and that's where a conversation would be really nice to have, but we can't have in our country.
We can't have that conversation because, bringing back to Jack's point, and Jim's actually, is that the people on the left who are liberal, they might have a heart. There is no brain because they're not stopping to say, well, I want it this way here, and I'm going to use those same principles over here. They just want an agenda. They're just fighting for an agenda. If we couched it as Trump's plan, they would hate it no matter what it was.
Right, regardless.
Right. So it's not really, that's where you get that feeling that they're not really.
And that's the resistance, people, because I love when you see somebody go out with a camera and they'll go, listen, here's Obama's tax plan, and he'll lay out everything that Trump's plan to go, we love it, we think that's great. Oh, I'm sorry, that's actually Trump's plan. What? So that's where.
So they're not bringing. You can't give them.
A lot of dogs
them,
in the neighborhood.
Yeah,
always
there are some
dogs.
Dogs in the neighborhood. You cannot imagine how frustrating it is. I guess you all might have the same thing, to hear them say one thing and you want to say, oh, it's their heart talking. Mm-hmm. And then you ask them to elaborate. You ask them to consider. And it's just hate Trump, hate Trump, hate Trump. No matter what we say or do, it's always back to hating Trump.
They shut off.
Yeah, it's about hating Trump. It doesn't matter the issue.
Okay, our man of faith over there, Billy, you always got to have something good to say about somebody because you're the man of faith. If you don't got it, we're running out of it. So go ahead.
Well, I hate to keep going back to the same thing, but if the parents don't get involved and get their kids in line with their basic values, work ethic, and good Christian values, this country is going to continue to go down the tube. Jack had a quote before that I thought was great. I've got a quote. It's by Mark Twain. He said, when I was 14, I couldn't stand to be around my old man because he was so ignorant. But when I turned 21, I was amazed to see how much he had learned in 7 years. And that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. You know, we just got to open up the dialogue. This thing with the people that got together to talk about gun control. That was a step in the right direction. It was the people on the left, people on the right, people in the middle, who haven't made up their minds yet. And I think that's the thing that, that this country needs more of.
Is conversation.
Open dialogue.
So, have you ever sat down with someone who is just so set in their thoughts, there is no conversation. Here's how they go. Let's talk about gun control. Let's talk about immigration. Let's talk about any one of the hot topics that are out there. And I think we should do A, B, C, and D. And then they turn around and say, we should do D, E, F, and G. And you try and make your point. Well, I think A, B, C is correct. It's because you hate. It's because you're rotten. It's because you're evil. It's because you're bad. And that's the end of the conversation. People on the left, unfortunately, because they don't always have the facts on their side, they have a feeling of how they want it to be, that they attack you immediately. As soon as they run out of information where you want to have a conversation, they attack because there's your motive is illegitimate because you just hate people who want to come to this country illegally. And that's not true at all.
Well, have you ever in your entire life known the media to be so anti a president? Ever?
Never.
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 Oh, they were anti-Reagan. They were anti-Reagan. They were certainly anti-Bush and
yes.
Bush.
Yes, not there were not to the point that we have organizations like Antifa. I mean, not allowing people to voice their opinions.
Right.
You've got political. You've got the president's staff being thrown out of restaurants just because they work for the president. That kind of stuff has never happened before.
Nor, they had a poll just recently. They're 39% of the people who believe that this country's heading for civil war.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may be an extreme, but when you turn on MSNBC, when you turn on CNN, and when I do, I watch it. I said, there's no way I can even agree with them or even compromise with their opinion.
Right.
They are so hateful that they are so disingenuous.
So let's look at that premise, Jim. Every argument that ends up with someone getting shot or stabbed started out with an exchange of words. Then it turns a little bit more violent until it reaches a boiling point and somebody gets shot or stabbed. So when your point about a revolution or a civil war that's going on, are we not now really maybe very close, if not already, part of that change?
That article said we are currently in the civil war.
A verbal civil war.
So this is going to boil, and we're going to be locked into our positions. We're not going to have those conversations we need to have, and things are going to continue to grate. Now, you're seeing these Antifa that show up. It's amazing to watch. You'll have 50, 60, 80, or 100 of these people with masks on, carrying weapons, destroying downtown communities, and then the police show up. They attack the police, and the police fight back, and all you hear is that the police are brutal, the police are Nazi-like, look what the police did. There was a time in our country, you showed up with a mask and a hammer and started busting windows. Society would not tolerate that. Now they're seen as the heroes because they're fighting back against the system. This is the revolution. This is
potentially
the Civil War.
You can't walk into a bank today with sunglasses or a hat on anymore. Why are these activists like Antifa allowed to wear a mask and the cops are not even saying, take it off?
Oh, wait a second.
They're not doing it.
Wait a second. Because how many laws are we going to throw on us? How many laws are we going to have?
If you go into a bank, how is it different? You're protecting their property. We're protecting their rights.
People have to commit a crime in order to be arrested. Wearing a mask is not a crime. Because then they're gonna look at me and
they're
say,
already committing a crime by attacking.
You should have a mask on.
Well, you know what's funny is that some communities have created those kind of things where they say if you're wearing a mask, it's illegal to wear a mask in public because people will commit a crime and then you can't see them on the camera. So there actually are laws that cover not wearing masks inside of an institution, inside of a bank, stuff like that. You can't do it for just that reason. So anyone who's walking in with a mask is immediately suspicious. And therefore, we think there's something afoot, so we would take action. So when we look at these kind of things, the argument you're making there, Bill, is we're trying to find ways to use the system to protect us from people who are using the system to hurt us. So the Constitution is almost like a suicide pact we've made. We're going to give everybody enough freedom to kill us, and we can't fight back.
Well, well, you can fight back. They're just going to be mad at you for it. Well, you know?
And that's the reason why we have so many problems between society and the police departments. It's because all these laws out there, people getting, they're not upset with the police per se, they're upset with the law. And they take it out on the police. Mm-hmm. And I'll bring the mask. Listen, the mask in the bank is not the greatest example, but you want to know something? How many times is there a law that you break, and next thing you know, if the policeman is trying to, you know, go in accordance with the law, but the law was ridiculous.
You know.
And that's where the problem is.
Khrushchev had it right. He said, we will destroy you from within. Yeah. And that's what's happening. The anarchists and other people that are against our country are using our own laws against us. And that's what's happening to us.
And isn't it funny how that was almost a prophecy from back in the day? Well, I want to thank everybody here in the neighborhood. This has really been great. Thank you all for being here. And hey, we'll see you in round three of Chasing Justice here in the America Out Loud Radio Network.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
And welcome to round three here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. We have got a group here today. I've decided to keep the neighborhood people here. We got Jim the Contrarian over here. Jim, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Jeff.
Excellent. Big Bill Dallas over here to my right, who's not wearing the same shirt. He took it off, and we're just wishing he put it back on. Bill Dallas, the man of faith, how are you?
I'm doing good, Joe.
Excellent. Kathy, who wields the idiot stick at all of us and keeps us all in line so that we don't say any stupid things that we are all prone to say. Jack, man of America, rock and roll, race car guy.
What's Joe, up? I'm glad to be here, and I still have no opinion.
You know, maybe I could move you to and maybe move your seats. It's like third grade around here.
Yes,
I move
yes, please.
Yes. And we have somebody new in the neighborhood here on segment three. We have Marisa Giordano, who is absolutely lovely young lady, but she's from Brooklyn. Okay, so Kathy wields the idiot stick, and Marisa just wields a regular stick, and we'll just smack you with that. So for everybody out there in America, the other day the lady said that President Trump couldn't handle a girl from the Bronx. Well, guess what? He couldn't handle a girl from Brooklyn here. We got here. So how you doing, Marisa? Welcome
I'm
aboard.
I'm very good. Thanks.
It's nice to have you here today. Kathy, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks.
Jim, you didn't get to say hi. What's up?
He did say hi.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Am I going deaf? Is that
yeah.
a problem?
Yeah.
Okay. Big Bill and Jack, you had yours to say. So Lieutenant Joe here. So one of the things, if you hear in the background today here on Chasing Justice, you might hear the tinkle, tinkle, tinkle of little paws running around. You may hear barking, you might hear some growling. I don't know what that would be, Jack. But other than that, you might hear some dogs running around. It could be an errant bark or whatever. We're here to talk about Poor Paws Dog Rescue. This is something that, Kathy, I know you got involved in a while ago, and it's one of the things that follows with your heart. You got a very big heart. You love people. You love dogs. You love animals. You love extra furniture. You love all kinds of things. So why don't you tell us a little bit, what is Poor Paws, and how can people out there help the animals?
Well, it's a rescue group that rescues animals from kill shelters before they have to be euthanized. And then they are put into foster families waiting for homes. So today we have two dogs that were rescued. One is ours, and that's Arthur. And then the other one is a cute little beagle Dachshund mix named Burnell.
Burnell.
So, yeah, so we were at a foster or an adoption event today trying to get, there was 9 dogs adopted today out of
really?
That event. Yeah. So
that's great.
We have a lot, and it's a great opportunity for someone to save a life.
And what's the name of the group?
Poor Paws.
And how can people find them? Are they on the internet? Or?
They are. They have a website, Poor Paws. But there's a lot of local ones. That's in New Jersey. There's a lot of local ones for, you know, every state has a local.
So how does this process work? If I went to one of these events, I see a dog, what do? I just take the dog? Do I pay for the dog? What
yeah, there's a fee because all the dogs are fixed and they have been given heartworm, all sorts of vaccinations. So there is a fee. They also cost money to transport. So these dogs are often taken from the south, which happen to have more kill shelters for some reason, and they're brought north. In the north, we seem to have a lot of pit bulls in our shelters. And people don't always want to adopt a pit bull. So by rescuing the dogs from the south, come up here, you have a variety, beagles, hounds, you know, that Excellent. Kind of thing.
Now you
and
have
it costs about $375.
$375, that's not bad when you look at the cost of a dog. And you can get puppies, right? You can
yeah.
Get, they can mm-hmm. get older dogs, younger dogs.
We just rescued a mother who's going to give birth in a couple of weeks, so we're going to have little puppies.
Well, that's excellent. And one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on here and I want to talk about this is because, first of all, I love animals, I love dogs, and I love people. You know, sometimes when you listen to Chasing Justice here, we have very strong opinions about things. We're trying to stay within the law. We're trying to have people follow the law. And I want everybody to understand, they're all very loving people here. They love people. They want to take care of people, do the right thing. Just want everybody to follow the law. Because we are a nation of laws. We're not a nation of just do whatever the heck you want to do. So that little Brunel over there, all right, he is adorable. I saw him cuddling on Maurice's lap. Maurice, is he like you over there?
Oh, he's adorable.
What's he do? What's adorable about him? Tell everybody. Because Brunel is available.
He's a cuddler.
He's a cuddler.
He likes to be pet. He likes to be near people.
Wow. I must be a dog because I'm exactly the same way.
You know, I've seen all the dogs that Kathy has brought through your home. And there was not one dog that I did not think was adorable, sweet, kind. I saw no angry dogs. It's amazing, and it's very upsetting when I think that potentially one of these dogs may be euthanized.
Wait a minute, this is the contrarian?
Yeah.
Well,
he does have a heart.
So like I tell you, he's got a big heart, Jimmy.
I love dogs. People have a problem with
it. Yes, exactly. So one of the things that we see with this Brunel is if anybody wants to see Brunel, he's really sweet and beautiful. And you're right, Jim. A lot of the dogs that have come through, you kind of think that sometimes they're a little mangy because they've been mistreated. They're rescued in some different parts of the country. And these dogs are malnutrition sometimes they're unhealthy. And when you get the dog, it is a sacrifice for you and your family, but it's a good thing to do. Just like fostering children is a very good thing to do. Help these kids that have no home and give them a place to get a little stronger and healthier.
Are you going to foster children next?
I love children, Kathy. And
Jimmy won't let me.
Well, that would be wonderful at Jim's house. I could go. I could hold the babies and I love the babies. That would be great.
That's called grandchildren.
Yes. We all got
like
that coming down
happen.
The road. So that's great. So that they would pay the fee and then they get the dog.
Yeah,
but the
rescue agency does do an investigation, make sure that they're good people, that they've taken their dogs to vets, that they've done the
sure.
right thing.
So they do a little vetting.
They do a little vetting. So
okay.
We don't just give the dog to anybody who shows up.
That's fantastic.
We try to make sure the dog goes to a good home.
All right. So one of the things, I saw a cartoon out there. It was pretty good. It was actually very impactful. There's a doggy puppy store, and you see the sign, $900, $3,000, and there's a crowd of people staring at those dogs, and next door is the pound. And all these little dogs got their nose to the window and they're being ignored. So if you want a dog, a beautiful dog for your family, look at one of your rescues. Call them up. See what they got. You don't have to take the dog, but I think Jim makes a good point. We have seen some absolutely beautiful dogs. I already have a dog. I don't need another dog, but there's a couple that I would have kept because they're absolutely gorgeous and wonderful. So if you want to rescue a dog, do something decent. Doesn't cost a lot. Go take a look at your rescues. Now, we're talking in the neighborhood here. We're trying to figure out what we can talk about as we get into the summer months. And summer is a time for entertaining and sitting around the pool or around the beach or the lake or wherever you are in America, a mountain or whatever. And the idea of conspiracy theories came up. Now, it came up in a group meeting when we were trying to decide, and no one will take credit for it, which that in itself is a conspiracy and a mystery. So I don't know who brought it up, but I'm going to guess that it was our contrarian Jim, because Jim has brought up conspiracy theories, ghosts. He also brought up aliens. And we talked about this one day very quickly, but today is the day. So what we have is we have a
A gift for Jim.
We have a gift for Jim. Jim has his...
there it is.
His
tinfoil cap.
His tinfoil cap that he's going to put on just in case the aliens
try... For the alien segment
cap. In case the aliens try and contact him while we're talking, because you never know, they might want him to say something. But in all seriousness, over the years, the whole idea of conspiracy theories... I was talking with some kids the other day, younger people, and they were talking about the World Trade Center. These people really believe that it was blown up and brought down by our government or some other government. It was pretty interesting. Jim, you've talked about aliens for a long time. Now, in all seriousness, I know you to be a very intelligent man. You're a very reasonable person. You're not a crackpot. You're not a nut.
Wait. That's going a little far.
The idiot stick is out. Stand by. All right. But you've really paid attention to this. You've seen it. And you and I have had conversations. And my belief is very simple, which I'll throw this in, and then I'd like you to talk about it. I look at the immenseness of the universe and the billions and billions of planets and galaxies out there, and there's absolutely no way in my mind that this can be it. First of all, our God is too big of a God to have just... Imagine the people sitting on this table. This is the height of what God could come up with, okay? Now, Bill, maybe, but I don't know the rest of us. But I can't imagine that the universe is not teeming with life. I just don't know that they're coming here to Tennessee and probing Bob and his cousin-in-law, or Jim,
mm-hmm.
Which he'll tell you all about that later on. It was traumatic, but we'll get into it. So, Jim, what is the story
probed, Joe. But even today, it came out in the papers. I was on the internet. I know you can't believe everything you read on the internet, but a NASA scientist came out, and he said flat out, the world has been visited by aliens for an extended period of time, and the governments of the world are still complicit in hiding this fact.
Why would they want to hide it, though? What are they going to hide?
There could be many reasons. One is because no government wants to admit that there's a power, a technological power out there that we don't understand, that we cannot, they cannot protect us from.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or they can't control.
Exactly. Now, that's exactly right. I think that there's also another possibility, that the aliens have been around since the Babylonian days, and they've been controlling mankind. They've been controlling us through usurping some of our institutions, sometimes their religious institutions, sometimes their financial institutions, and they actually have some people here on Earth that subscribe to their mechanism for controlling mankind. Now, why do they want to control mankind? I don't know.
Well, that explains Nancy Pelosi.
That's pretty good. Now, Marisa, you're with Jim all the time. How does this entire alien thing manifest itself in your day-to-day life with Jim? Is there anything?
Well, basically, I ignore him. And nobody in my house will eat strawberry ice cream because we leave that for him because he says that
aliens
eat
like strawberry ice cream.
So
he's never been probed, but we can hope.
Wait, how many episodes of Star Trek do you want to
watch? I love Star Trek.
He's seen every single one, every version of it. And I will say, though, that when he went, where'd we go, hang gliding or whatever that was? Rip lining.
Yeah.
He was the only one that knew who Betty and Barney Clark.
That's were. Right.
That's interesting.
So they supposedly were abducted, and Jimmy knew the story.
He didn't know them, but he knew the story, and that's actually quick. Well, I'm gonna reveal something here. You're gonna see two antennae come out of the back of my head right now. About 4 years ago, 3 years ago maybe, my wife and my family and I were leaving a restaurant in February, and we were down by the ocean. And it was, you know, a cold, quiet, dark February evening. And my son and I stepped out of the restaurant waiting for the wife and my daughter to come out. And we looked towards the ocean, and I saw three bright lights coming towards me. And I thought they were three helicopters. That's what was my initial thought. These three helicopters are coming in from the ocean. Maybe it's we have an Air National Guard base around here. Maybe they're doing some maneuvers. And as it got closer, I started to notice that I've seen helicopters fly in patterns. There's always some movement, independent movement of a group of aircraft when they fly together. So you can see them, rising and falling independently. these three bright lights coming towards us were not moving in any way, shape, or form. They were absolutely steady in their position as it, you could see it was getting closer. And what I started to realize was that it wasn't just the lights, but there was absolutely a gigantic black triangle between these lights. So much so, I was dumbfounded that I was seeing this. And I guarantee you, I am not a crackpot. And I believe that there's aliens out there. I just don't think they're coming here to rule the banks and the world and other stuff. I think they're out and wherever they are, and they haven't made contact yet. But I saw this, and I brought this to my wife's attention, and I said, look at this. What do you see? Kathy, did you see anything?
I did. I saw. I saw three lights coming towards us, and they were not moving independently. They were moving towards us in unison, in perfect unison. It was rather amazing. We kept staring at it. We tried to get other people in the parking lot to stare at it with us, and they didn't want to stare at it with us. But then when it moved, it was coming towards us, and then it moved north. Going north. And you could see now, you couldn't see the black triangle, but you couldn't see behind.
Right. It was blotting out stars as it went.
Right. And it wasn't moving fast. It was moving almost like a sailboat would move, if you would. That's kind of the feeling I got. It was kind of just gliding through. It wasn't, no motors, no engines. We didn't hear anything.
It was absolutely amazing. And I remember we were dumbfounded as a family because none of us are crackpots. And we saw all of that. And the first place we ran to was the contrarian's house because we figured this is going to be the aliens. Here they come. They're going to Jim's house.
And Jim will know about it.
So we pulled up and he had his tinfoil hat on in the front yard. And he was doing a funny dance out that door. Well, we told him about it. And here's what I didn't know that Jim brought to my attention. He says, a big giant black triangle. You know, that's the number one reported sighting across the world. Not just in the United States, but across the world, is this large black triangle. Jim, do you have any information on
that? Well, there's a third reason that I didn't mention why governments may be hiding the alien presence, if it exists, and that is we are trying to back engineer the technology. Mm-hmm. And we all heard of the Area 51 crash, but there was crashes in the Soviet Union. Actually, there's crashes in Mexico. There's one in Pennsylvania, and we want, and actually some of the governments are talking to the aliens. And what we're doing is we're bartering technology
for
you're not going to like this, but we're actually allowing the abduction of some people.
Well, that makes sense, though. It makes sense why some people are saying,
yeah. The question is, why do they need to abduct humanity?
But how come they don't land in Manhattan, or they don't land in Los Angeles and go, here we are,
and why are they all, older women with hair curlers or Bubba Joe drinking a beer?
I disavow that commentary about Bubba Joe. We love Bubba Joe here, because this is a nationwide show. Thank you,
pilots. You know how many cops have seen... You know,
I didn't have.
I've seen alien spacecraft.
Well, recently they've shown the video of the pilots that are flying, and they're talking about, do you see this? It's right above us. It took off. And they're doing Mach 2, Mach 3, and these things just take off and disappear. I don't understand the phenomenon. Jack?
The thing for me is this. For many, many years, they were discussing the stealth fighter. The stealth fighter had been flown for in excess of 5 years. And in those 5 years, it was unbeknownst to the American public, the sightings went through the roof, especially in the area of Area 51, New Mexico, mm-hmm. Nevada, and the desert areas where this experimental aircraft was flown for years. We didn't want to give up our secrets. We didn't want anybody to know what we were fooling with. So they flew this thing in excess of 5 years before they brought it to the public. Mm-hmm. Now, it's much smaller than what's generally reported as a UFO, mm-hmm. but it is a black triangle. Mm-hmm. They also flew the B-1 bomber for many, many years mm-hmm. Before it was ever announced to the public that we possessed such an aircraft and the stealth technology.
It's amazing, Kathy.
I was just going to say, do any of you guys believe in aliens? Who here? Jack, do you?
We've discussed this before on the program. Oh. My belief in aliens is this. I believe that in the infinite universe, there's other populations of what we might consider to be people. If they're coming here and seeing us feed upon ourselves over mineral rights and religious beliefs, they're not staying.
Okay, Kathy?
Bill, what about you?
I think we'd have to be really arrogant to think we're the only ones around.
Right. Okay. I believe in them. Sure, I saw it. Okay. I saw something I didn't understand.
Marisa. Well, I kind of have to believe in them because all we watch is Ancient Aliens.
And Jim, obviously?
I think that they're here and they're trying to control mankind.
How do we know that they're not controlling you? That's really my question.
They aren't, because I refuse to be probed. He's
a well, can hope. If that's what it takes, chasing justice, then I want nothing to do with them. Well, listen, I'd like to thank you all for stopping by here for our segment 3. This is fun in the summertime with the neighborhood. So thank you to Jack, Kathleen, Marisa, Jim, and Bill, and Lieutenant Joe here. I want to say have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you soon here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.